Welcome into the BBP2 in our second Inquirer Bengals podcast of the week. Every Thursday during the season, we'll bring you more specific game preview insight from players and your Cincinnati.com beat writers. But that's only the beginning. Every week, we'll bring you Paul Dougherty's hot seat with our guest on Beyond the Stripes, our advanced analytics conversation with the team at Pro Football Focus, as well as a Throwback Thursday interview with a voice from Bengals past. All right, let's go. All right, welcome to the BBP2.
Yeah.
The deuce is upon us.
It is.
Paul Diener Jr., Jim Osarski, your Bengals beat writers for the Inquirer. What's going on?
Not much, man. Just getting into Twitter fights and email fights.
Time.
It's that time of year.
It's that time of year where it's time to snap back on some people. Yeah. So anybody that has followed any of our conversations that we have had, whether it be on Twitter, whether it be on the BBP, whether it be on one of our prediction videos, whether it be anywhere, knows that you just like to poke the bear on mock drafts with me.
I do like to poke the bear on mock drafts. And I think what's little known, and we'll put this out there because I think it's only just desserts. The thing that gets me is AJ McCarron guy.
Yeah.
Your mock drafts, I make it known. I just throw it out there. You don't really troll me like that. Like, you try, like, oh, the question.
Every once in a while.
Yeah, but I, you know.
It has to be a really good one.
Yeah, you don't really go that way. You kind of take it.
You're relentless.
You're a good colleague in that regard.
You throw jabs, like you just throw jab after jab after jab after jab, and I just try to throw one haymaker a month.
Yeah, you know, so AJ McCarron, I finally got to me this week. Largely because, we wrote that Andy's been struggling the last 4 weeks, and that just brings it out of the woodwork.
It does.
It, like, totally negates the last, like, year and a half.
Right, no one cares.
You know what I mean?
Sometimes you got to pop off on AJ McCarron guy.
Yeah.
You know what? It's fine. In the same way I had to pop off on mock draft guy.
Yeah.
I was told that I don't care about clicks or subscriptions.
Right.
And I should be doing mock, because if I did a mock draft right now, like, I'd be
I would get a raise?
Hopefully. Yes, raises for everyone. This one mock draft will bring in so many clicks and subscriptions. A middle of the season mock draft.
Right.
Which they're out there.
Yeah, they are. We make fun of that guy.
What is the percent chance of accuracy of a middle of the season mock draft? I mean, seriously. Like, go back and I dare anyone to go back and look at what happened for a mock draft put up in the middle of the season this year and how it looked. You are literally, I'm telling you as a reader, you're getting nothing out of this. That's why we're not doing
it. Right.
You are getting nothing out of this.
Yeah, no insight. Look, and here, the BBP listeners really enjoy us because we bring them inside. Here's the thing. Even an NFL club, outside of maybe the Browns at this point, and I don't even think they know what they're doing, NFL clubs aren't even really getting into this just yet.
No.
Truly. I'm serious. I'm telling you, people. Yes, they've scouted. They have their reports. Everyone's prepared for who's coming out. That's not what I'm saying. But in terms of, like, actually getting into, you know, board, that hasn't happened yet for real people whose job it is to do this.
Right. And we have 4 months to do that. 4 months where nothing else is going on.
Right,
right now, things are going on besides that. Yeah. We will get there. Sorry. This just brings it out of me.
Here's the thing. I'm going to flip AJ McCarron guy into mock draft guy because AJ McCarron is going to get traded for a draft pick, which will only help make you go deeper in your mock draft guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to spin this.
And then we'll have that guy on the BBP.
This is what happens when they're 3-7-1 and no one's around to talk.
No one's around to talk. So we're sort of talking about what are we going to get into here. Really, the only thing to get into is that it's sort of hit that depressing everyone hide mode.
Yeah,
just waiting for the season to end. We had very few guys in the locker room on Wednesday. There's just a noticeable. Even Adam Jones said the only things he still has fun playing. He has as much energy now
as ever because he just loves the games and he likes the sort of everyone being against them mentality. Yeah. So the only things that are nerve wracking for him are losing and us.
Yeah,
like he just he doesn't like having to talk to us, but he does it.
And he's not
many guys do because that's what happens on bad clubs. Guys hide and just don't really want to talk about it.
And it's you know, on one hand, you know, as immediate, you know, fans don't care about this stuff. But look, when they're winning, everybody's good, everybody's available and happy. When you lose, nobody wants to talk about why they're bad.
No.
It's the nature of sports.
I get it. Like, I wouldn't want to sit there and just, you know, if we kept having factual errors in our stories over and over and over again, and every Monday I had to sit while a bunch of people berated me for it, for us having the same, I'd try to fix those errors.
Yeah.
But you can't necessarily. It's football. It's you win or you lose. I wouldn't want to keep doing that. I get it.
Yeah.
But if there's a value in it when you're getting your Pulitzer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. That's a stupid tangent. We're gonna let go.
That's right. Hey, you know what though? Carl Weathers got off the mat. He's still alive.
He got up. Carl Weathers lives. It's really the one good thing that's come out of this season is that he survived my vicious attack.
He did. He did. And, you know, this is where this is turning into real quick. I know we got to get into the Eagles.
You talk about a bad game.
Yeah. You know what, though? BBP, hashtag BBP, BBP2, Lindsey Patterson, second most famous person out of Wilmington, Ohio.
Yeah.
It's on the Wikipedia page now. It
is. It
is. She's on the Wikipedia page. It's rolling.
On the Wilmington, Ohio,
big. Famous people. She's on there.
Yes.
People are trying to throw that out like that means something. But you know what? People care, so she's there now.
Yep.
We're going to get this rolling.
We met a Lindsey Patterson fan at the BBP, or at the BTS on Tuesday. Came up, said hello.
Hey, where's that bouncer dude that Andy had week one, man? Yeah. We need to roll that dude back out.
We never got another bouncer at BTS this year for some reason. That guy was great. He was the best bouncer.
He was going to be part of the show.
I wanted him. He was going to be like the Steve Wilkos of our show, and he was eventually going to get his own show that came on just before us at Hofbräu House.
Yeah.
The bouncer show.
Yeah, I'm sad about that.
I'm sad we don't have more fights like Springer does.
Yeah.
Because if we had more fights,
we're going to have to turn it. I mean, something's going to have to happen. If this club is like 3-10,
we're going to have to go
with a loose loss to the Browns.
We're going to have to go scandals and animals.
Maybe we get
like the Merv Griffin show.
You can't bring a squirrel in with the hawk.
Scandals and animals on BTS. That's what we're going to have to do. We got to keep entertaining. We got to keep you coming back.
Yeah.
So we'll be working on that.
Might be better than the game Sunday.
Yeah, the game on Sunday. I mean, it's gonna be ugly. I am. That's really the only thing I can predict is bad football and probably close to unwatchable football. Yeah.
It's been y'all can check Cincinnati.com here, and we'll talk about our predictions too, Paul. I know you were struggling with what you think this might be one the Bengals can get, and I think so too. Look, the Bengals could have won any of the last five games.
They didn't.
But they didn't. So I am firmly, you know, I was probably the last holdover into, I thought this team could put something together. So now I'm going to be the last holdover, and I'm not going to pick them to win until the week after they actually win.
Browns included?
Yes. I'm on that train. I'm putting it out there right now.
You know what? I might be on it too. Hugh Jackson with 0-12 weighing on it. That's their Super Bowl. Like
off a bye week.
Off a bye week.
The man cried in his last press conference. Look, and we love Hugh. Even Marvin on Wednesday sitting up here and talking about his crap team felt bad for Hugh.
I know. It's
so you know, before, but that's going to be a whole lot of
but
fun.
I mean, that's going to be a lot of, because the bottom line is 2 weeks for a team that views it as their Super Bowl against a Bengals bad
and Marvin
club
knows it. He said
on the road,
he said, lucky us.
Ball and knives.
Yep. So before we get to that, I mean, look, the Eagles aren't good. You know, they have.
They're bad.
They started really well. People were like, NFC champs. And then it's been awful since. But, Paul, look, they do the things. We talked about matchups the last couple weeks with Baltimore and Buffalo and New York. Like, hey, the things those teams did well, the few things they did well didn't match up well with what the Bengals, right? And that's played out that way in some fashions, like kicking long field goals doesn't match the Bengals well, you know, in certain things. And I just don't know. I don't think, you know, Darren Sproles or Wendell Smallwood in a screen game with an athletic offensive line matches the Bengals well. I don't think Zach Ertz and Brent Celek match. I can't even say that a rookie quarterback matches the Bengals
well. Rookie quarterbacks have toasted them.
So I think it'll be close. I think we'll be sitting just like the last few games. Fourth quarter, Bengals driving, chance to take the lead or win. We've seen it for 5 weeks, even going back to Pittsburgh.
Right.
And something wrong happened. So I think it'll be close, but I think the Eagles win. I can't.
Did I? So I in the walkthrough on Thursday, we had sort of done this here and there. I had to go back and get the official like run of the numbers from the last 6 weeks offensively. It's hard to be as bad as they have been in the fourth quarters of these last six games. The six games that we said since the beginning we're going to define their season. They've scored 13 points in the last six games in the fourth quarter. The Bears are better than that.
Yeah.
They have four. They have 17. You know how bad the Rams' offense is? They have scored 20. They got two touchdowns.
And two of those points don't even count because the Ravens ran out of the end zone. And it counts for offensive points.
It does. No. I'm not counting that? Okay. I'm just counting offense.
Okay.
One touchdown and two field goals.
Oh.
I'm not counting the safety. So it goes 13 for the Bengals, Bears at 17, Rams at 20, Vikings at 24, Seahawks at 25. So almost the entire league has doubled the amount of points that the Bengals do in the fourth quarters of these games. Yeah.
And that includes A.J. Green. Look, A.J. and Gio, A.J. have been out for the last two, Gio for one, so they're part of this too. I mean, look, and we wrote about this week, Paul. Like, Andy's in his worst stretch of four games since the culmination of Andy 2.0 back in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a while. So something happened starting in Washington, and we saw it there. Now, I think he was healthy in Washington. I think he was healthy against the Giants. I think he's been hurt since.
I think he got hurt against the Giants in the Giants game.
So, you know, it's been a combination of things. He played so well. He carried this team through 7 weeks when they were scoring 20 points a game, and that's not great, but they were 3-4.
And those last few games, it seemed like the offense was starting to get it together. I mean, we talked about how it seemed like the offense was starting to get itself in position to carry this team through an important stretch, and it just fell off the cliff and couldn't get it back on the right track.
Right,
and then the defense got it together. So really, if you look at it, I mean, who knows what's really going on? But if you look at it, when the defense started to get it together, if the offense just would have continued on that upward path, you could be talking about everything that we thought could happen.
Right.
But the offense falling off the map, even before AJ got hurt, has been the difference in this season, in it being over already.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it probably would have ended early anyway. I mean, that was probably an inevitable thing. But
we're gonna look back. Rocky Boyman asked me this, Paul. He's like, hey, now that you can look back, hindsight, when did you realize this wasn't gonna go well for them? And I qualify, I say, look, we thought they'd take a step back, which we did. I think Dallas was the eye-opener for me that this defense wasn't going to be very good because they had 10 days to prepare for a one-dimensional attack and got torched.
Torched.
And then to me, Washington was big because, look Paul, the Washington and the Giants were the last two games where the offense scored 20 or more points. And those were two games where they needed the defense to hold a 10-point lead against Washington and, you know, stop the league's worst rushing attack in New York, and they couldn't do it. And then it flipped. The offense went in a crapper. Andy got hurt. AJ got hurt. And the defense has been good, but now they can't score.
Right.
It's like they need – and Carlos Dansby, to his credit, said that on Monday where he's like, there were times where we just didn't do it as a defense. And, like, those two games, think about it. if they go 2-0 instead of 1-1, I think the season's different, in my opinion. But sure. Now here they are where they are.
Yeah, but the NFL is full of games where, that are decided by a point or two. So, like,
Connor Barwin, we'll hear from him. He said that too about the Eagles.
Yeah. As much as I buy the they only lost these games by 10 points. Yeah, well, that's what happens in the NFL. You win or you lose by a couple of points, by a couple of plays, by a couple of players, and the deterioration of this roster, of this team, of their play in the fourth quarter, of the opening drives of games, things they haven't been able to fix, the same things happening over and over again is why they lose by a couple of points every week, because the league is full when they've played this bloated middle where everyone's the same. They've done the same things wrong and lost by a few points every single week. So it shouldn't even be a surprise anymore. And it's the same way it's going to be this week.
I think so too. Yeah.
Is the offensive line suddenly going to be able to block against a Eagles defensive line that is really good? Fletcher Cox, Connor Barwin, all these guys that are going to get after him. Are we suddenly going to see them able to block?
Same stuff that we've seen.
Yeah,
Andy will run around. He'll make a few plays. I think he's going to miss on some throws because, again, I don't think that shoulder's right. Receivers, Tyler Boyd's going to get open here or there. Same thing with Eifert.
Brandon Fell plays. Won't.
You know, we'll see. It's going to be the same thing. It's going to be a close in the fourth quarter game where there's a the only way this changes, Paul, to me, is if for the first time all year, because, again, why would this change again? You know, they get to the opposing quarterback four times. And they should. Carson Wentz has been sacked at least twice the last 4 weeks, four times on Monday, five times against Washington.
The receivers can't get open.
Yeah. So they should, but they haven't yet. We've said that before.
Yeah.
Can the defense get a turnover? Sure, they've gotten one the last few weeks.
They've gotten some turnovers,
That should happen.
And the offense hasn't been able to capitalize on it, though.
So can Mike Nugent make a kick?
I don't know.
You know, so is there a bag status?
To go from five consecutive playoff bursts
to a bag.
To bag it's status a little, well, in it's the a first week ridiculous. Of December.
It's a little ridiculous. Just like AJ McCarron guy's ridiculous and mock draft guy's ridiculous.
Yeah, bag guy's ridiculous.
Singular bag guy is ridiculous.
Yeah, no, if you all do it as a group of friends, that's funny.
Right.
Like you all dress up. Maybe you write different things on the bag.
Right.
I get it.
The reason I say that is because somewhere in the Twitter feed, I saw a bad guy on his couch watching the game against Baltimore. I'm assuming bad guy would buy a ticket and do it at the
bad
game.
Bad guy on the couch. I love it. I love bad guy on the couch. That's such a great idea. Like, you just sit next to your wife and kid while they, like, you know, the kid plays on the iPad, wife's reading a book, and you're sitting there in a bag watching the game through the little eye holes. And you wrote something on the front for some reason.
I should have favorited that just so I could pull it out this week.
If you listen to the BBP too,
first quarter, you don't want to go bag then. You know, but if like Nuge misses a PAT, like 10-3.
Do you cheer? Like, I've never gone to a sporting event with a bag on my head.
Neither have I.
So, do you cheer when good things happen, even though you're wearing the bag? So are you still happy? Or do you have to sit in sadness with your bag on, like unhappy even when they do well?
It's a great question.
How does that go? So if you make...
Bag etiquette? I don't know bag etiquette.
Bag etiquette. So game-winning field goal attempt from Nuge, you're obviously there with your bag on.
Right.
Right?
And you're expecting a miss.
And you're expecting a miss. If he makes it, Do you take the bag off and celebrate? Do you cheer with the bag on? Are you still sad? Do you throw the bag up in the air in excitement? What do you do?
I don't know. We need to find some of those 90s bag guys. They're probably like in their 50s, 60s.
Yeah, they've got bag stories.
Yeah. I'm sure there was a 90s Bengals club that like won a game at Paul Brown or Riverfront when they had a bag on the head.
Yeah.
We need to get to this.
All right. If you know a bad guy, if you're going to be a bad guy, if you know anything, if you have any thoughts on bag etiquette.
I'd rather hear from you than AJ McCarron guy.
Yeah. And definitely more than mock draft guy.
Yeah.
No doubt. All right. What was your prediction score?
I went 17-12 Eagles. I could see it being lower scoring than that. It'll be close.
Yeah.
You know, just like we've seen the last few weeks.
Ugly, bad football. Everything about it's going to be terrible and awful and ugly and disgusting. That's why I'm going with a terrible, awful, ugly, disgusting 12-11 final Eagles. I think they win and and Bad Guy Rejoices, I think. Yeah. But I'm not 100% sure. All right, before we get into, we're going to be going back to our George Iloka hot seat from Beyond the Stripes, Pro Football Focus, with Jeff Dooley, the PFF Inquirer, or the PFF editor in chief over there for Pro Football Focus, talking about the Bengals offensive line and whether they, how they've been compared to last year when you really look at their numbers. And and then the conference call with Connor Barwin, who, you know, former Bearcat, super interesting backstory, just what his conference call was like. Before we get to that, want to get to our sponsor, BetDSI.com. I don't know if you guys have done it. You need to check out BetDSI. They have been in the business for 20 years and one of the top-rated businesses, and they're very safe to play at.
Yeah, it's you know, they got a special. Sign up today, get $10 off to try their service, offering 100% bonus on that first deposit.
You need that bonus. You need that bonus, because when you lose, you need to check into that bonus. All right, I can tell you that. They've got great customer service. It's fast and easy to get your winnings, so you want that. They got hundreds of football, basketball games, anything that all the crazy props that Jim loves, you can get into that.
Yeah, definitely. In-game wagering too, Paul. So when it's like going crazy bad on Sunday and you want to get into weird, you know, 3 points here, 2 points.
You can play
there
from inside your bag.
Play from inside your bag.
keep your BetDSI dry under the bag.
Yeah, so go to BetDSI.com. Go there now. Use promotion code BEAT10.
BEAT10.
Yep.
BEAT10. That gets you your free wager. BEAT as in Bengals Beat Podcast. All right. Thanks to the folks at BetDSI. Thanks to all y'all for listening. Even McCarron guy, mock draft guy, and definitely bad guy. We want to know more. Up next, George Iloka on the hot seat, followed by Pro Football Focus, and then Connor Barwin. Have a good one, everybody. All right, welcome back to Beyond the Stripes, presented by JosephIowa.com. We are here at the Hopper House in Newport. It's time for the hot seat. Doc, you are up.
George Arinze Iloka. I say that right?
You did, yes.
You're on the hot seat.
Okay.
What have you learned from this season about yourself?
Just control, attitude. I would say in the past that I've let a lot of off the field or just how things went affect the next play or the next day or that practice or that game. I feel like this year, through the ups and the downs, I've been consistent in terms of like my attitude. I've been trying to, you know, hey, the past is the past. Let's move on. Last week means nothing for this week, win or loss. And I think that's where I grew up this year.
You have said, quote, before you grow as a football player, you have to grow as a man.
Mm-hmm.
How have you grown as a man since you've been in Cincinnati?
Like I said, like it's been night and day from last year and this year. And maybe it might be because of the contract or whatnot. I don't know. I just feel like mentally I've been in a better place in terms of, like, just control what you can control. Okay, they scored a touchdown. We still have 3 more quarters left. Like, what are you going to do? This didn't go right, but what are you going to do next? So I think you're always constantly still working on yourself, but I think this year I've been better in that department and just controlling what you control and doing what you can do to try to help the team.
It's almost a survival instinct in a year like this.
Well, not even just for a year like this. That'll help you in the future. I mean, because things are not always going to go your way, and you can't let the past affect your future. So, I mean, like I said, I feel like this year, however it ends, I think there's a lot of things that I can take from this year that'll help me just in life and my football career.
What are the given names of your Nigerian-born parents?
My dad's name's Arinze, and my mom's name is Ify, I-F-Y.
And your siblings?
Ekene, Ugochi, and Ngozi.
And your name is George.
George, yep. Because they didn't want me to be a junior.
I was going to say, but everybody else has these really interesting, kind of exotic, cool names.
Right.
And they named you George.
Yeah, because they didn't want me to. All my my siblings have, like, American-type middle names.
Yeah.
But my dad didn't want me to be a Renze Jr. He wanted me to be my own person. So, but he still wanted me to have his name because I was his first son. So I just moved it to my middle name. And George ended up being my first name. So.
How many guys from Nigeria, or at least descended from folks from Nigeria, playing in the NFL right now?
I can't tell you. I know my best friend, he playing for the Packers for the last 3 years. Just got released. He's playing for the Saints. He's Nigerian. We grew up together and same high school, same everything. So there goes another one. I would say probably somewhere around 20.
Osi Umenyora, wasn't he from Nigeria or descended from folks from Nigeria?
I don't know. He's a little older, but he sounds like he's from there.
So. Your dad, a corrections officer?
Correction officer, yes.
Does he have any really good stories about the bad people that he's dealt with that we can hear on this show, this family show?
My dad's like real spiritual. He doesn't like, at least around us, he's never really cursed or... He wouldn't even let us, like, watch Martin on TV, you know. Like,
he wouldn't let you watch Martin?
Martin, and that's on regular TV, so, you know, there's no cursing or anything like that. Wouldn't let us watch it. He's just one of those type of guys. But when he's at work, so, when, you know, some people, the warden and things like that, live on the premise, and sometimes he'll take us there to get our haircuts by the inmates. So we're young, like 7 years old, and you're going to the prison to get your haircut because it's free. And, around them, he's like a different person. But you gotta, you kind of have to be in that environment because you don't want those guys to walk all over you. So, and no real cool stories, anything. One time, an inmate escaped, and so he had to like come home right away. I didn't know he had a gun. Grabbed his gun. He had to pack for like 2 days because everybody has to go back into work until they find the guy.
Really?
Yeah. So.
So he's a tough guy at the prison.
At the prison, he's a tough guy. He's one. He just retired like a year or two ago. He's one of the oldest, but he always had the fastest time in their training and their mile. You know, every year you have to pass like some test to make sure you're physically fit. And he was the oldest guy and he always ran the fastest mile.
So. Now you're kind of a serious guy. We like having you on the show because you're very candid and outspoken, but you have a serious side. So I'm going to ask you, tell me one thing you think would make the world a better place.
One thing that would make the world a better place. I don't know. Can I say free healthcare? I mean,
can you what?
Can I say free healthcare?
Free healthcare? Yeah, you say whatever you want.
Who's gonna pay for it? I don't know, but it'll make the world a better place.
Free healthcare.
Free healthcare.
All right, good enough. What do you not like about yourself?
Sometimes I try to be perfect, and then that just trying to be perfect sometimes stops you from doing a lot of things. I'm just talking about like on the field. Yeah. Try to do everything right the right way. Or sometimes you just got to play, cut it loose.
Just
sometimes,
let it go.
Yeah, sometimes I'm a little bit more reserved than I want to because I, you know, I'm just trying to make sure I do things right.
What do you really love about yourself?
Hard worker. I like the fact that I just want to please people, make people, you know, proud of me, happy. I like that about myself. And I feel like I have good habits, you know, just I'm pretty disciplined.
Tell me something that makes you laugh every time.
Laugh every time. I don't know. There's some memes online that make me laugh. I don't know. Yeah. I can't tell you. It's kind of putting me on the spot there.
Do you have a good speaking relationship with Geno Atkins?
Does anybody?
See, I ask everybody that question.
Does anybody? No. I'll say this, though. He talks a lot more this year.
He's talking a lot more this year?
He talks a lot more this year, yeah.
What's that? You get about 20 words out of him this year instead of 4 or 5? Or?
No, it's been a lot more.
Really?
Yeah.
What's he talk about?
Anything and everything. He's a pretty funny guy. He just doesn't talk. When
funny?
He talks, he's funny, but he doesn't talk a lot in general.
Picks his spots. He doesn't pick
which
any
spots. Which makes it funnier when he actually speaks.
Yeah. He doesn't pick any spots with us. Where's your dream vacation? Where would that be?
It changes every year, but right now I'll say Cuba. And we're trying to
Me too.
I think I'm trying to go to Cuba next offseason.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
they're starting flights, like regular.
Yeah, I think they already started that, so I'm going to try to go there, so. If I don't make it back, you know, y'all send everybody looking for me.
You're a very religious guy. Are all your tattoos religious?
No, I just have some of them have names in my family. I have a lion.
Okay.
You have some random things here and there, but I have some religious tattoos as well.
If you met God, what would you say to him?
Forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're all sinners.
You think he'd be okay with that?
If I meant it and I was contrite and try to reconcile, yeah.
Yeah. How many tattoos do you have? Are you running out of space?
No, I have a lot of space.
You do?
I haven't touched my forearms yet because I promised my mom I wouldn't, but I think I can now. I don't really have to worry about it.
Oh, you promised your mom you wouldn't?
I wouldn't in high school. I was like, yo, because just in case I have to get another job or something, you know, I don't want tattoos everywhere, but... I think I'll be fine in terms of that right now. So,
do you ever have tattoo remorse?
Yeah, I have a tattoo that my girlfriend calls Fat Jesus.
It
was supposed to be like a what is it called, silhouette of Jesus coming down the stairs of heaven, and it's when I was young, and I paid like $50 for it. And
not high quality.
Yeah, it looks pretty bad. It just looks like a blob. So she calls him, she calls it Fat Jesus.
Have you ever thought about it getting it removed?
I mean, where it's at, it's like on top of my shoulder, so I don't really. That's my shirt's off. You wouldn't really see it, so I don't care. You know.
If you had to choose, would you choose hope, faith, or charity?
Faith.
Why?
Because I believe in a higher power, and one day I'll meet him, whether it's for good or for bad. But we'll meet our maker one day.
Money, fame, or free time.
Money, fame, or free time? Money. Take care of a lot of things with it. All family, right. Yourself.
I'm going to go through a real quick list of stuff. I want you to go like this or like this, all right? Thursday night football. Colin Kaepernick. Pittsburgh Steelers. Sideways.
Sideways.
Steve Smith. Oh. Ketchup on scrambled eggs. Salt on watermelon. Mm-hmm. Not good. Touchdown celebrations. Like it? Romantic movies. Like it. All right, there you go. Had to say that, right? Okay. I got a couple of quick philosophical questions,
okay.
All right?
Okay.
Because I know you're a deep thinker. If it's hard to win in the National Football League, mm-hmm. which is what everybody says, but as many teams lose as win, isn't it also hard to lose in the NFL? See, you thought I was going to ask you football questions up here, right?
I think it's easier to lose. It's harder to win.
But half the teams do each of them every week.
Right. But usually in those teams that lose, they have to try. I mean, everyone for the most part, athletic-wise, is equal. So you have to really make mental mistakes or just really blow things to, like, lose. And lose by a lot or whatever it may be. So I would say it's harder to lose than this to win.
Is there any point to offsetting personal fouls?
Come again?
Is there any point to having offsetting personal fouls?
Yeah, I mean.
What?
What's the point?
Yeah, what's the point? Both teams get the same penalty. Both guys get penalized. You don't gain or lose a thing. What's the point?
Because I guess now if you have two, you're kicked out. So you still have to keep track of that.
All right. Well, that's a good point. All right. Is the Bengals 2016 season a glass half empty or a glass half full?
To be determined. We got 5 games left.
Yeah.
Right. How you end it will mean a lot more to me and to everybody else in terms of going into next year, and I mean, the playoffs is still a hope. But me, I'm not really concerned about the playoffs this year. I just want to win this week. So for me, it's all about building. You want to put good things out there. You want to build winning habits because even if this year ends how it doesn't want to end, there's still next year. There's still the year after that. There's the franchise is not determined by one season. It's what you do through a long period of time. So I look at it half full, not half empty.
Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, what do you like to do in your spare time?
What do I like to do in my spare time? I commit golf. I won't say I play it, because if I played it, it would indicate that I was good.
What's your handicap? Can you be Pac-Man?
No, his handicap is like 12, I think.
So you're not betting the Pac?
No.
Oh,
no, okay. Mine's like 18 or 19.
Okay.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. What about you?
My handicap?
No, what do you do in your off time?
You know, I like to hang out with Doc.
Do you really? Are you just saying
absolutely not.
Okay.
No, not necessarily. It's all about restaurants, man. You know?
What's your favorite restaurant out here?
In this city?
Yeah.
Soto's up there.
Soto?
Mazunte. You been out to Mazunte?
Never heard of it. I'll have to get it after.
Get out to Mazunte.
Where's that?
It's out off Red Bank. Hoffer House, of course.
Yes.
Hoffer House.
Okay.
We got to pay the bills, George.
Got to.
All right, welcome to Bengals in Focus down at the Pro Football Focus Studios off Main Street and over the Rhine. Paul Dana Jr., your Bengals beat writer of Cincinnati Inquirer, here with Editor-in-Chief Jeff Dooley from Pro Football Focus. Excited to have you here with us. Welcome
on,
Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
This week, you know, as we often seem to be doing this year, talking about the Bengals' offensive line, as the season starts to round out, you start to get a picture of where this group is at, and they've been off maligned this year for a lot of issues that have happened up front. I want to kind of take a look at what you guys have for the numbers grade-wise and the breakdowns there from last year to this year. Who's kind of improved? Who maybe has regressed? Let's start with the three stalwarts, sort of. You know, Andrew Whitworth, Clint Bowling, Kevin Zeitler, the guys that you feel like you kind of know what you're getting there. Where have you guys seen from year to year on where those three are at?
So I think they've been pretty consistent. Andrew Whitworth, he's number three in our tackle grade. So he's, again, one of the elite players at that position. And then when you talk about Zeitler has been excellent, again, at right guard. I think sort of there's been a slight downtick in Bowling at left guard, but not significant enough to really cause any issues. He's had a little more trouble in the run game than we saw from him in 2015, so not really sure what to attribute that to, but hasn't been quite at the same level there.
Yeah, so those guys kind of wavering a little bit. And the one that everybody looked at was Russell Bodine, who everyone's expecting at some point this guy has to take a step or needs to go. And his grades, if you guys have had low grades on him for the majority of his career, what have you seen from him this year? I feel like it's some numbers that might surprise some people.
Yeah, he's actually taking a step forward. He's sort of grading out right around average at that position. Now, you know, last year he was the liability along with Andre Smith at right tackle. This season, we haven't seen that from him. That he isn't the one to pin any blame on for this. That he's played sort of right around a league average level at that position.
A league average, which I'm sure that they want better than that. And Russell Bodine still has his share of problems. But the bottom line is, when you look at the totality, he actually has started to show a little bit more consistency. I think that's something that a lot of Bengals fans that always just want to pick and say he stinks may not necessarily see the consistency over the year. Obviously, everyone knows the struggle Cedric Ogbuehi has had. He's been put into a rotation with Eric Winston. Coach is sort of saying after this last game against Baltimore, they saw a little, they were encouraged by some of the improvement in his consistency, but it's been a rough year for him. Where do you see him in comparison to where Andre Smith was at last year?
It's right around the same, frankly. I mean, it's sort of a major, he's a major liability at right tackle for them right now. Obviously, a very talented guy when he came out of Texas A&M. Similarly to Andre Smith when he came out of Alabama, he hasn't put it together yet. And so that's a position where unless you see sort of a next step taken from him the rest of the course of this season, or maybe you see it in the offseason, that's a spot at right tackle you really need to be looking to shore up if you're the Bengals.
No doubt that's the case. And you kind of go back through and you look, and I just think people are surprised because people have been ripping on the offensive line all year. And some of that is absolutely warranted. But you really look last year to this year at pressure percentages, total number of dropbacks, the total number of pressures. You know, they ranked third in the NFL last year, and they're back at 10th now. But that number hasn't changed, 29 to 30. So you really don't see as much of a drop-off as you think.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the least pressured quarterbacks in the NFL last season. It's been a little bit worse, but it's not like he's under fire a ton. So I don't think you could really point to that. Sort of some of the things we've been talking about here is how quickly he's gotten rid of the ball this season compared to last season. He's hanging on to a little bit longer. I think that's where you've noticed the difference. Maybe it's the receivers haven't gotten open as quickly for him. You mentioned sort of how he's very much a rhythm passer. I think that's sort of been part of what's lacking.
That's a huge part of this offense is Andy Dalton going back in rhythm and passing. Those numbers last year, 2.41 last year, seconds to snap to throw. 2.53 this year. A lot of that because he's been forced to go out, improvise, and run and try to make things happen out there. That's the numbers on the Bengals offensive line. Jeff, thank you for joining us from down here, Main Street, Pro Football Focus. Make sure you keep checking out. We're here every single week as we look forward to every game as the Bengals try to round out this season and take you all the way into the offseason. So we'll talk to you later.
Hello.
Hey, Connor, how are you doing?
Connor Barwin.
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Excellent.
Doing well.
Good, good.
You ready for the ticker tape parade for your return?
I'm excited to be back in Cincinnati for one day, I guess.
There you go.
Are you arranging to meet up with Mick and show him that you still got some of your old basketball skills?
I would love to see Mick Wymantown. Are they playing by any chance on Saturday?
They're playing Sunday night at 8.
I'm not going to be able to make it, unfortunately.
They're playing tomorrow night. Tomorrow night at 9 on ESPN, though.
Well, I will be watching that, and I will see them. I think they come to Philly the December, which I'll catch their game then, and I'll catch up with Nick then. They're supposed to be good, though, this year, which I'm excited about.
That is accurate.
Do you still kind of brag to your teammates about how good you were playing basketball in college?
You know, every once in a while I make a humble brag, but you know, it's funny, the younger guys figure it out, and it's depressing to me because they seem shocked that I used to play basketball in college, which is kind of funny. But every once in a while we still talk about it.
Did that ever help you in any way when you came into the league, that experience playing hoops?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think basketball is the most athletic sport you can play. So obviously, my background playing it, growing up, playing it at a high level in college, I think helped me a lot. I think it obviously helped, when I was in the 3-4 and I was dropping into coverage and, keeping everything in front of you and having good eyes. And then now in a 4-3 and even in a 3-4 when you're rushing the quarterback, I think it helps you, see the ball, see tip passes, all that kind of stuff.
Do you still shoot the basketball at all, or have you given that part up?
No, I still try to play basketball a lot in the off season. Like I said, I think it really kind of keeps you loose, if you're athletic, going horizontal, explosive, all that kind of stuff. So I try to watch myself when I play, because obviously it can be a little dangerous when you're playing pickup games with random people at the park, but I still try to play a lot in the offseason.
Has this been a roller coaster ride for you guys, Connor, considering the 3-0 start and people were, holy cow, the Eagles are unbelievable?
Yeah, it's been an up and down year. Obviously, we're all very excited at the beginning of the year. We've lost a number of really close games that we felt like we kind of shot ourselves in the foot. Now we know, we're playing in our division is playing really good football this year. But with that all being said, we've got, five games here down the stretch. We play all of our division opponents at home. But we need to go get these two road victories, which is the Bengals this week and then the Ravens in 2 weeks.
Have you, obviously you fully recovered from that ankle that you had. That was kind of a gruesome injury. How long did it take for you to feel, normal or even better than normal?
Yeah, no, that was a long time ago. It put me down for, the whole 8-month recovery. And then the 2 years after that injury, I really had to tape my ankle up pretty damn good. But I think once I came to Philly, which was my third year removed from that injury, it's totally behind me. I don't even think about it. Right. Anymore. I really don't even tape my ankles anymore.
You don't even have to tape it, huh? You dislocated it, didn't you? Wasn't it a dislocation?
Yeah, I dislocated it, broke the bone in the bottom of my leg, so it was pretty nasty. Thankfully, I was young, healed up good, did a bunch of rehab, and no problems now.
Cool.
How did the transition from Houston to Philly go for you, and did it take you a while to feel fully comfortable in your new place?
No, not really. And it's kind of funny, talking to you guys about this, because it was really the Cincinnati connection that made the transition really easy. I mean, when I came here, Trent Cole was here, who's gone now, but Jason Kelsey was one of my best friends in college. And then Brent Celek, who I played behind for 2 years in college, were here. And those guys are still here. So they made the transition really easy. And it's been great being here for now going into my fourth year.
Do you follow the Bengals any more closely than any other team, or are they just kind of another team at this point?
No, I follow them a little bit, not closely, but I follow them. If you remember, I mean, we played them twice in the playoffs when I was in Houston. And then, I follow them a little bit because the connection there, and then Kevin Hubert is still playing there. So, I follow them a little bit closer than other teams, but I'm not checking in on them every week.
Big change in schematic from last year to this year with Coach Schwartz. Obviously you're a versatile guy athletically, so the change didn't affect you that much. But How different was it? How difficult was it to transition everybody from one scheme to the other?
Well, I think, you know, we're still, you know, in that transition. I think we made the transition quickly, but we're still learning. For me, you know, the biggest thing was I don't drop into coverage anymore, right, which I like not having to do, but obviously that was something that, you know, I was pretty good at. So, you know, I'm getting – and then I made a switch from rushing on the left to rushing on the right, so now I'm going against the left tackle every week. So that's a transition that I'm continuing to get used to as the season goes on, as going on.
What do you think of Witt's play?
He's been great for, what, 11 years? He's been really solid. So he'll be a good challenge for me. He's a big, big guy. You know, and I'll have to be at my best to try to get around him.
What kind of challenge does a rotation at right tackle present? You know, it's because Eric Winston and Seto Bueye are two different kind of guys.
Yeah, I played with Eric Winston, and obviously I'm gonna try to get over there and rush against those guys a little bit. But like I said, I'll probably be going against Witt most of the game. You know, I don't think it's that much of a challenge for us because we rotate ourselves. You know, in schemes where you kind of play the entire game, you start to, you know, get a feel for a guy, and you mentally you set up moves and that sort of thing. So you won't be able to do that as much when they're rotating, you know, tackles. But at the same time, we don't get to do that as much because we rotate ourselves.
Do you like Schwartz's scheme where, you know, I mean, if you're a down lineman, he wants you guys after the quarterback. He's not a heavy blitz guy. He thinks he's got a lot of confidence in what you guys can do. Do you guys relish that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is, if you're a D lineman, this is the defense you want to play in. So, you know, we're all excited to play in this system. We've kind of had a tough couple games here, but hopefully we can get back on track and put some real pressure on the quarterback.
Did 30 hit you hard?
Did 30 hit me hard? No, I feel great, man.
Yeah.
You know, just like, I don't know, what is this, I think this is going to be 98 for me in a row, so.
Yeah.
I feel great. You know, I mean, I used to play in the 3-4, which Kelly, we played a lot of snaps. I played every snap. Now we're rotating. I'm only getting, you know, 40 snaps a game. So I feel, honestly, I feel better than I felt the last couple of years.
I didn't know if, you know, it makes you start thinking more about the future when you hit that, you know, you cross that threshold as a player.
Well, you know, I kind of wish you wouldn't have brought it up because I forgot I was even 30. But it's all good. I'll forget about it here quickly when we get off the phone again.
Any big projects off the field that you are working on these days?
Yeah, I mean, we're continuing to, I don't know how familiar you guys are, but, you know, I got a foundation down here and we're rebuilding parks, so we're under construction on our second one, and we're kind of ramping up our third one. So it's kind of, you know, a lot of professional athletes have grant writing foundations. We're operating foundations, so we are constantly working and trying to manage these projects, and all is going well right now in Philadelphia. There's a lot of momentum, and it's a good place to be.
You guys have been using concerts to raise money for those, right?
Yeah, yep. Well, we put up a concert every year. My foundation matches the proceeds, and then we leverage that, you know, with public and private money to raise money for these projects.
Good for you, man. Great.
Awesome.
It's good.
Awesome.
Thanks a lot, Connor.
Thanks Connor.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
How you doing? Too.